As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma. And yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only patronizing Magoots. Quit smiling at me.
Well, if you're listening to this and you listen to VPR first, Steel got mad at me because I was... Actually, that probably didn't even make the air, did it?
No, it didn't. You were on your phone because you do this thing where like you're on your phone up until I do the intro, and then you put it down and look up. And... Yep. I've mentioned your phone to you many times. Our commenters have.
My teacher?
Just put the phone down. Have some respect for your coworker.
How about you have some respect for my screen addiction,
fuck
pal?
Your screen.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, your
I'm phone... struggling over here. You need to lift me up, pal.
Oh, wow. You're going to play the addiction narrative with me?
I feel like I'm going to hit home, right?
Jesus Christ. Welcome to our friendship. But yeah, we just got done recording our VPR episode, and we are much more excited to talk about this show, The Valley, because who'd have thunk? I didn't have this on my bingo card that The Valley would become one of my favorite shows on Bravo and outperforming Vanderpump, its parent show. Who'd have thunk?
Parent show.
Yeah, parent show.
Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. But here we are, and we're excited to talk about it, and we... are certainly not hate watching any of it, and honestly, the best parts about VPR were when Jax was over on VPR. So
which is shocking.
Here we go. I guess let's. You want to just jump into it?
Yeah, I do want to say real quick. Our live show is coming up very soon. It is next Friday, May 3rd, in DC at Union Stage. We have Candace Dillard coming out. We have Chris Bassett coming out, and we have Ryan Bailey coming out. So go to our Instagram. The link is in the bio. Get some tickets. Come hang out with the bros. Candace, Chris, and Ryan, it's going to be an awesome night, so we will see yous in DC, but without further ado, let's get into The Valley. And overall, this show is firing on a lot of different cylinders, and I am enjoying it. You got a lot of very interesting characters on this show. You get a lot of different types of, like, there's a lot of different people.
Yeah, a lot of sex talk between Kristen and Luke.
A lot of
sex. You know how much we love that.
Well, let's jump right in, because we start out with pregnancy talk. So they're talking about pregnancy.
Sex talk adjacent. They somehow made it into,
that's
yeah.
what I mean. They're starting out by talking about their journey to try to get pregnant, and, you know, the negative test is disheartening, which, of course, you know, that's got to be tough to see, but they're still trying. And they're taking premarital counseling so that they can make sure they're in a good place. I do like that they're very proactive in their relationship, at least.
Well, I like that they're leaning on the best couple on the show in Danny and Nia.
You should.
Luke going and talking to Danny, who is objectively the nicest guy on this TV show, if not maybe the nicest guy in Bravo at this point.
He's up there.
It's him,
Russell from yep. Miami, and I don't even know. I think maybe
West.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Russell, West,
and Danny
are our top three.
Yeah. Yeah, very smart move, very good move, because you're just trying to break into this group of friends. Go talk to Danny. Danny's a great husband, great father. You're trying to get Kristen pregnant. Obviously, you've got plans of marrying her as well. Go talk to the best husband and father on the show.
Agreed. I learned a lot about Luke this episode that I wish I'd known when I was hanging out with Luke in L.A.
Yeah.
Because he's a bow hunter. He's a fisherman. I am both of those things. I wish that we had sat down and talked about that. But this just furthers my point, and I've said it before. I'm going to say it this episode, too, because they almost come to blows. Luke would kick the shit out of Jesse.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Like, he's got his number, but they're talking about their living situation, and, you know, Luke gets a little burnt out by the LA lifestyle, which I totally understand. We were there for 3 days, and I was ready to go home, but they're trying to find a way to bring his life to LA a little bit more, because she refuses to live in Colorado on the ranch. But
she was even falling asleep while he was talking.
I know. She was not very interested in the whole thing. But at the end of the day, Luke just wants to fish. He's never been without his fishing pole before, and he can't just bop around and fish in LA. I don't think it works that way. So he's trying to figure out a way to bring his life out
there. Yeah, is there no like lakes or something you can go to nearby?
Dude, it's tough if you're not in when I lived in Florida, I would just leave wherever I was living and walk around and find a pond and just flip my rod in there for like 3 hours. Yeah. bass fishing. Okay. That, or you'd catch like tilapia, which was a pain in the ass, and you have to take them off the hook. You can't do anything with them. They're trash fish when they're in the pond. But there was this great Lowe's.
Will you eat the tilapia?
No.
Pond tilapia?
No, fuck no.
How'd they get in the pond?
Tilapia?
Yeah.
They're freshwater and saltwater. It's also tilapia, for a lot of people out there, tilapia is a very broad word.
That's what I'm getting, yeah.
It implies a white fish.
Okay.
Like a flaky white fish, mm-hmm. but it is not necessarily like a tilapia. So be careful when you eat tilapia, all right? But we would catch bass, and there was a great Lowe's that you could sneak into a pond that was chained off because the pond got poisoned with arsenic by the factory next to it.
Sure.
So the bass were very discolored, but man, they were big, and there was like thousands of them in there.
Three eyes.
We would jump in over the fence and fish there, which probably wasn't the best idea. But okay,
I got scared for a second because he said jump in.
Not in the water.
Okay. Yeah.
But we would go in there, and then the police would come, and we'd run away. It was, you know, baseball life.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Brings back drinking in the woods, running from the cops.
Yeah, the good old days. The Tiki Trail. You know they still go there?
Yeah.
There's a little side story for everybody.
Every time we bring it up, now we've done this before.
I've told them that we start, that my sisters go there and party now.
Yep.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. But it is. Should I not say that my sisters party there?
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's funny, because we've done this story before. I think we did it twice, actually.
I didn't know that. But regardless, we get to Jax and Jasmine, and they're talking at the bar, just kind of catching up after the boys and the girls' night. And the sex life comes back. Sex life. Jax and Brittany's sex life.
Sex life.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Why does it sound weird when I'm saying it?
I don't know.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
Your sex life.
It's definitely a thing.
Okay, cool.
Sex life.
Man, my brain's not working very well today.
Just say it a couple more times. You'll get it.
No, I don't want to. But they're going over the same things that we've heard. You know, Brittany wants to feel wanted, and that Jax needs to show her, not tell her, that actions speak louder than words, and like give her compliments. The funny thing is, now Jax overcorrects. He's like, oh, yeah. He starts talking a big game. He's like, oh, we got plenty of toys, but like the batteries ran out and this and that, blah, 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 blah. Nuh-uh. Or else you wouldn't be in this position where your sex life is nothing.
I think, if anything, he was loosely referring to the fact that maybe Brittany uses toys and not him.
Oh.
I think that's what I got from it.
Oh, I
went
the
other way. He was doing
it
under the guise of, like, maybe if I just throw this out there, she'll back off. I actually didn't care. I didn't really mind this at all, because how many times have we seen somebody in a couple and it's just like a girl's night or a guy's night and they're talking about sex or lack thereof and they don't really know what to do, and it always boils over into something else and nothing ever happens.
That's a good point.
I actually didn't mind the fact that one of Brittany's friends sat down with Jax. It didn't even look like Jax really minded talking about it, because he knew it was coming from a place of concern, and we obviously know what's going on with Jax right now. But in the moment, he seemed like he might actually give a shit.
I didn't have any issue with this scene.
No issue at all.
I like that. I mean, Jasmine has her best friend's best interest at heart, so she takes it upon herself to have this conversation. Yeah.
Regarding her sex life.
Yeah. No, I got it, dude.
Okay.
Shut up. But the other thing that comes from this scene is they're talking about Jesse and Michelle, and Jesse let slip that he'd be shocked if this marriage lasts another 2 months.
Yeah.
Now, the rumor that Jax has to bring up, because Jax loves a good rumor. He's
sure
a gossiper.
Does.
We even get this little cut scene earlier in this scene where it's like Jax just gossiping over the years on Vanderpump.
Yeah.
But
and literally just a week ago.
Yeah, and just a week ago. But apparently, Michelle's been texting other dudes, and this protecting comment from Dodie comes into play, where she's trying to protect her, and that's in reference to these texts, potentially, and Jax is worried that Kristen will let it slip. Are you? Because you're letting it slip right now in hopes that Jasmine takes this information and tell somebody else.
Yeah, and the way that I'm taking that is Jax is worried that Kristen's going to let it slip because Jax wants to be the one to let it slip in his own sort of strategy.
Sort of. It's
damn
contagious.
It, yeah, we're having a hard time. Sort of strategy that he's trying to unveil here, because, again, when we go back to really any of the things that have popped off a little crazy, I still think that Kristen and Jax are always in the center of it, but I always still feel like it goes back to Jax and Brittany.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are spinning the wheels, and they're doing it in a much better way, whereas Kristen is just getting very flustered and yelling things. But that's how Kristen does it.
That's Dodie.
She's going to throw a big mess.
Dodie going to Dodie.
Yep.
But we get Jax and Jason on a phone call. It doesn't work because it's echoey, and I love that he takes it to get Jason being an Android guy.
Yeah.
We have an Android guy in our Oh, no, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Because Zach finally got an iPhone. Yeah, in our video game group, it was always, you get the green bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Because one guy had an Android.
It just doesn't look good.
We converted him. Don't worry. We got him on board. But because that phone call doesn't work, instead he calls Danny and lets him know, we're going back to the Mondrian. When he said that, I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we've been there before. Shit popped off there. But Jax is having an event for men's hair growth because he's starting to notice some thinning going on in his hair.
Sure.
This is an important issue that more men need to be able to talk about. Okay? There's nothing wrong with hair care and hair growth and preventative. I guess we can't say it because we're not sponsored by anybody. I take products to make sure that I don't lose my hair because I would rather take shit now. Then in 10 years, be like, man, I should have taken something.
Honestly, I feel like that everybody should just go talk to Zach about this. I mean, what's going on with that helmet of hair you got?
I can't.
How do you do it?
Oh, no, I was going to save that.
Oh.
Fuck it, we'll talk about it now.
Yeah.
The fact that Zach takes a dig at Schwartz's hair, I was like, my man, take your helmet off before you throw shade like that.
Yeah. Show us your real hair.
Yeah, you can't be pointing fingers right now, dude. Get a haircut, you can talk some shit, but... Regardless,
like any scissors can get through that thing.
No, it's that thing
too thick.
If you knocked on his hair,
he just like doesn't wash it, and it's just years and years of product in there, and it's
no,
just
it
kind of like
look dirty.
No,
it just looks like a helmet.
Yep.
I just thought, you know, interesting for you to take a shot at somebody else's hair. Maybe, you know.
Yeah, maybe settle down.
Yeah, go to Sports Clips first.
Sports Clips.
But the next scene, we get Michelle and Isabella, and they're playing at a playground or whatever, and she's talking about Jesse. And her big thing is that she thinks it would be better for Isabella to see two loving people and not two people fighting, which, sure, I agree with that. My thoughts and feelings on Michelle are just drastically changing episode to episode.
Yeah.
The more we're finding out, like, this is not vindicating Jesse. Jesse's an asshole. It's very clear that Jesse's an asshole. However, Michelle is not blameless either, I don't think. We're seeing a lot of stuff come out, and we'll get to that later. But the next scene, we get Danny, Nia, Jason, and Jesse, and Nia just partnered with a crib company. Great timing, because you got the twins.
Yep.
So she invites the dudes over to try to get some things accomplished, because she wants them to build the crib. Unfortunately, you invited the three most not handy dudes I think I've ever seen.
I would just say, unfortunately, you live in L.A.,
Okay, fine. Yeah. Fair.
Let's take a shot.
Yeah, take a shot.
We're all the way on the other coast.
We'll take a shot at my brother. We'll take a shot at Brooks.
Yeah, why not?
But they go about trying to put together these things. And somebody, I watched The Valley today, and somebody had messaged us because I was posting about building my garden on our account earlier, which was, I'm so glad I did. I got so many tips from people.
So many tips.
Because I was curious about how to fill the beds up, because it's a lot of area to get a lot of dirt. And they're like, oh, put limbs and like tree limbs and stuff on the bottom to fill up some space. And then you can fill it up from there. And when they decompose, the nutrients. So I cut down like three trees today and threw them bitches in those. So thank you, everybody out there that gave me tips
for
my garden. But regardless, somebody commented and said, maybe you should have been over at Danny and Nia's and that process would have been a little bit easier. So appreciate you.
Also, pretty sure you don't need a power drill to put that together a crib.
It definitely speeds up the process, but
depending on what you're using, a lot of them are like, I feel like Allen wrenches, those little guys.
I was going to say,
bitches, yeah.
Definitely came with an Allen wrench to use. It's way faster to use a power drill, unless you don't know how to use a power drill.
Which they don't.
No, you keep losing the drill bit, which you got to screw that bad boy in. Okay, there's a process.
I did not.
It's just fucking
so
crazy.
You hold it like this, and you...
It's crazy. Like, watching them try to do that was, it like hurt my head. I was like, you guys can't, like...
I was laughing the whole time, because it's exactly what I thought.
Then Nia came in, she goes, do I need to do this? I was like, yes, you do.
You actually might,
definitely
be
more capable.
You're Miss Universe. You probably know how to do this.
You can definitely do this better than these three guys are doing it. They pick it up, and everything falls off of it when they're trying to move it. It was just a disaster. But the point of this scene, we get Jesse talking about therapy, and this paints him in a little bit of a different light as well. And I appreciated this, because even though he takes it to shrooms and ayahuasca, because psilocybin is mushrooms, he's talking about what a lot of people are doing now in therapy, where they're taking psychedelic drugs to see a different side of themselves, see a different perspective. I actually think this stuff's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I think there might
microdose
be
microdose, maybe. Yeah,
something like that. Like, I don't know.
Like on Entourage, where they just go to the desert. And...
Or if you do like a ketamine trip, like...
Like Adriana?
Adriana did in Miami, whatever.
You can do it, just don't show us.
We don't need to watch it. Yeah. No, that was uncomfortable. But Jesse points out like a big, big factor that makes him such an asshole. And I was shocked. He's like, you know, I want to address my ego. And I was like, whoa. He's like, and it's not about
self-awareness.
Yeah. He's like, I know I can, like, I bang the table and this and that. And it's not about empowerment. It's about when I do this, like, I'm being a monster. And I was like, yeah, that is way more self-awareness than I ever thought you were capable of. Shocking to hear. The biggest thing I take away, regardless of what he's saying, he's trying. He is trying. We saw that with the dating coach, the marriage coach, or whatever the fuck that guy was. We saw that there when they were talking after the fact, and he's like, do you still want to try? Like, do you still want this? I do. And she says, I know you want this. I don't know if I still do.
Yeah, and I do think that, obviously, we don't have all the pieces to the puzzle here because we're basing it off of, at this point, I mean, Michelle gets worse and worse every week, but we're basing all of our knowledge off of two assholes. Yes. So it's really hard to piece this thing together. I do really think that after COVID, when Michelle's talking about Jesse being a really good father because he couldn't go anywhere once he started going places, and she basically threatened him saying that she was going to leave and find a new apartment, he started to try.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes from. He starts to try, and then he tries for a couple of months, and then he goes right back to his own self. So right. I think that's what happens, and I think that's, if you're Michelle, you're looking at this like, okay, yeah, you're trying again because you realize that I'm about to leave, and you're going to try, and you're going to try, and then you're going to stop again. So why would I do it again?
Which I mean, okay, fine, but the more I'm seeing, it's like, yeah, I think that, as we say a lot, like, yes, it's
complicated.
There's two sides to every story. Yeah. The third side is the truth. I think that what we're seeing here is, could Jesse have done better? Yeah, most definitely. That is without question. Does that mean that your wife gets to cheat on you?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So neither of them are blameless. If it comes out that he was at least faithful when they were trying to figure all this shit out, and he's putting in the effort after she threatened, which is what you're supposed to do if you hit that cross in the road, that fork in the road, it's like, all right, either put up or shut up. He's trying. So that does not allow you to then go about your business however you want and blame his missteps in the past for you not trying to further your marriage in the future.
Yeah.
So I think that we're going to reach some kind of conclusion here one way or the other. I think we're going to get enough information where it's going to be pretty clear as to not who's right or wrong, but who's the bigger asshole.
Yeah, that's really all it's going to come down to. Who's the bigger asshole? And I don't know who's going to win right now. Jesse's in the lead. He had a huge lead to start off with. Michelle is climbing back into it, though.
Very quickly. But the boys are supportive. You know, Danny says you're doing everything you can. You're trying. Like, it's amicable. And it was really important for me, like, as a viewer, to see this scene. To be like, all right, well, the guy's not all asshole. He's just majority asshole. But whatever. We get to Jax and Brittany, and there's a little bit of a bar update. And after seeing the casualties of Schwartz and Sandy's, of Tom, Jax doesn't want to put himself in a similar position as those two idiots. So he wants to bring Brittany in more. Brittany feels like she has been left out of this whole process, and so he brings her to the bar to get her input. What's interesting is Jax's partners, the general manager, the other owners of the bar, they appear to have wanted her opinion for a while.
Yeah, the timing of this is very suspicious, knowing what we know a little bit later in the episode where Jack says, well, it's football season. I got to open for football season.
Yep.
That's why he brought her.
Yep.
That's the only reason he brought her. And the other partners wanted her there the whole time. Jax is Jax. He probably wanted to leave her out. Even if we get those little scenes where he's talking about how Schwartz told him that it's really going to strain your relationship, so you got to be smart about it, things like that. He doesn't really give a shit. He's going to do what he's going to do. Jax is always going to do what Jax wants to do. He brought Brittany in there just to show her, hey, you know, we're almost there. We're getting there. You get to take over some of it. All the partners are really excited to see you because there's going to be a lot of women here. We need a woman's touch. That makes a lot of sense to me. In the moment, I'm like, okay, this is good. Jax is learning. He learned from other people's mistakes. No, he just wants her to see it to say, okay, yeah, you're almost there, so that he can drop the bomb later and say, I'm going to open this place in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I firmly agree with you. But what I took from this scene the most is how these two communicate and what Brittany wants, and she's vocal about it, and what Jax is incapable of giving her. Because I felt really bad for her. She's like, I want Jax to be able to lean on me, but he won't. And we see that happen. You know, he finally has this moment of like a breakdown where she's like, you seem stressed out. And he's like, I am stressed. I got to do this. I got the business, a mortgage, raising the kid, blah, 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 all these different things. And he kind of dumps it on her, but then doesn't go that much further in depth. And like, that's what Brittany wants, is a partnership. She wants to be able to talk to you and you talk to her and you lean on each other. It's kind of heartbreaking, honestly, to watch the scenes with the two of them.
Yeah.
Because you can see that she just wants a husband and a partner and a happy, healthy marriage. She wants to feel wanted by her husband. She wants to feel desired. And she wants a partner to raise their kids, mm-hmm. to go throughout life with. And Jax is just not able to do that because he's not a good dude. And like, she defends him to the ends of the earth. And I don't know if that's because she actually believes that there's a good dude in there, or she's put so much time and effort into this that she just wants it to succeed. And maybe what we got this year with them finally splitting is she got to a point where she's like, you're irredeemable.
Yeah.
I cannot do this anymore, because she's trying. Even when she's being shitty and getting involved in the bullshit and starting nonsense, she's doing that to support Jax. She's going that far to get involved in shit. And not, look, she's not blameless when she stirs the pot, because she also wants to be relevant on TV. I know that.
She's good at it, too. Yeah, and she can do it from behind the scenes.
Right. And people also say, you know, she got together with Jax initially on Vanderpump just so she could be on TV. So there's a lot of that involved as well. But when you just see these two together, you take the reality TV out of it and just look at them as a married couple, my heart kind of breaks for it, because it's like, you're not going to win this battle. I know what all you want's a husband, and all you got is a Jax.
Yeah, and I know that, like, we keep bringing up where they are now and how they're separated and what Jax is doing with his assistant and all of those types of things. And I know that when we first heard that they were separated, we talked about how it looked like it was for the show.
Yeah.
Let's drum up a little bit of outside drama so that people watch and they try to figure out, okay, when did they fall apart? Because we're going to assume that we're going to see that at some point. And then when everything comes together, they're going to get back together anyway, and the whole thing was just for show. The more that we watch on the show, the more we realize, okay, yeah, no, this isn't a very good foundation for their relationship. And the show is doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you would imagine they would just come back together, because who cares? You don't need to do these like little antics and things outside of the show to get people to watch, because everybody's watching right now.
Yep.
So it's starting to look more and more real pretty much every episode that comes out for both of those reasons. And it's crazy to watch. And look, I mean, I guess we were wrong. They weren't just doing it for the show.
That all signs are pointing to that. But
we can admit when we're wrong.
We usually do. I think that we do every time, even though people say we don't.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we were wrong. But we get to the Mondrian for the hair party, and this is where Zach comments on Schwartz's hair. I wrote that down.
I just love that it's the hair party, and the first person we have to talk about is Zach.
Yep. Oh, that's a good point, too. But
hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Now, you know me, I'm complaining about my allergies almost every episode.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Does it get annoying?
It gets a little annoying. I get it. We get it. You have allergies.
Yeah, I know. And it's a tough time of year. Everybody's got allergies, though. And people come to me because they know that I'm a seasoned vet when it comes to allergies. They come to me during the peak seasons. They're like, Shooter, what are you doing? How do you do things differently? And a lot of times, I don't have an answer. But now I do, because Astapro gave us free samples. And anytime that my nasal allergies flare up, I always go in, grab the Astapro, take a little bit, and I feel great. I do a couple of squirts up my nose, and suddenly, within a couple of minutes, I'm feeling a lot better. It gets me right back into the game. And that's where I direct all my friends that come to me, because I don't always have the answers, but I can direct them to the right places, of course. And that's all you really want as a friend, you know? Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief and nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
I thought it was kind of fucked up that when Jax walks in, freeze frame, arrow pointing to his bald spot.
Yeah.
He's already talking about it. The more interesting thing was when this is brought up originally to Danny. Danny's like, yeah, you know, it's thinning a little bit. He's got a bald spot here. You can see it, but like, I'm glad that he's doing something about it. And also, he's going to take any chance he can to make some money, whatever, do you? Everybody else thinks this is just a cash grab. When I'm looking at his hair, I'm like, yeah, it's thinning a little bit.
It's definitely thinning a little
bit. I thought that last week when he took his hat off. I was like,
the funny thing is, they go to Jesse in his confessional, and Jesse goes, dude, it's probably just a calic. When he pointed to his head, I just stared at Jesse's head. What the fuck is going on with his hair? You know what he looks like? It looks like his hair was like up in a poof, and then he put like a headset on, and it kind of like dented his head.
Oh, in the middle?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
He's got it like really big in the back. Next time you see him, he's got it really like tall in the back, and then it kind of swoops down like a valley.
Hey.
Hey now. Maybe. And then it comes back up. He did it for the valley.
Yeah.
Nah, it just looks like a fucking idiot. But I just couldn't stop looking at him. Like, what is going on with his hair? The hair on this show is crazy.
They should call it Hair in the Valley.
Hair in the Valley.
Hair in the
Valley. Am I not hairy enough for the hair club?
Oh, my God. Is that a Master of Disguise reference?
That was a Master of Disguise reference, yep.
Shit.
We're getting in deep right now. We're pulling everything out of our bag.
I think the funniest part of that is the fact that that movie's horrible, but that line...
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. Uh-huh. Am I not turtle enough for the turtle club? Jesus Christ. We find out that Jack spray painted his hair upon finding out that he was bald.
Totally believe it. Totally believe it.
Definitely did.
Yeah, definitely
he went into the garage.
I love the people that were like, did you actually do that? It's like, yeah, of course he did.
You don't even have to ask him. Of course he spray painted his hair. Why wouldn't he spray paint his hair?
What do you think is going to look better? A little matte or maybe a little shine? What do you think, Brittany?
Yeah, come in here and spray paint my head. He used Rust-Oleum, which I believe is like anti-rusting fucking, it has like metallic shimmer.
It probably made him balder.
It definitely did.
Destroyed
it
his
your hair pores, you dipshit. That's not good for your head. That's probably so where dumb. Your bald spot came from.
Yeah.
That one, you probably did have a cowlick. It probably was a cowlick, and then you spray painted your cowlick, killed the hair cells, and now you're bald.
Yep.
Dumbass. Anywho.
Let's hope this Latin American, is that what they called it too? I don't even know what it was, but they were trying to figure out what it was because the name of it is XYGO or something.
Oh.
Brand. And Brittany was like, yeah, it's just... It's Latin American for good hair.
Zygo? Like, yeah, that's how I'd pronounce
it's
it.
It's definitely not Latin American.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Well.
We're dealing with idiots.
Yeah, that's inherent. But we get Jasmine and Janet talking, and to Jasmine's credit, she didn't stand by it that well, but she leads off with, I'm not comfortable repeating the whole conversation. You know, Jax tries to be subtle, messy, and plant seeds.
That's the thing is, Janet is doing this.
Yo, Janet's messy, bro.
She's messy. I don't think she's that messy. I think she's a little more meticulous than the rest of the crew.
When I say messy, I mean she likes to get
involved. She likes to get involved in the shit. Yeah, for sure. Because we point back to her with the whole Michelle is racist comment. She was definitely talking with Zach, probably.
Yep.
And it comes back to her, and she was able to get out of that scot-free and move on with everything else. And now she's doing it again where she's trying to pull it out of Jasmine, and Jasmine doesn't want to talk about it, but Janet keeps asking questions. Slowly but surely, Janet has everything.
She gets some hints. She gets a couple of things.
Now, the thing is, obviously, it all blows up later, so we don't get to see if Janet gets to put this into play, but we at least get to see what her strategy is and how she's going about it.
She fishes. She just
I'm the pregnant woman. Come on, you can talk to me. I'm going to have a baby soon.
I'm trustworthy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blow up your spot.
You totally see my husband over there? He's sweet.
Yeah, he's a sweet lawyer. Guy. He's a lawyer. That's even more of a reason to be because they're lawyering this shit. Now you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
But Jasmine lets it slip a little bit. She points out that it has to do with Jesse and Michelle and a Michelle text message. She doesn't go fully in. So it's like.
It's enough.
It's enough.
Yeah.
It's enough. So. You originally stood on your laurels in, I'm not going to let it slip.
You tried.
You tried.
I think.
And then you got lawyered.
Yep.
You got lawyered by the lawyer's wife, and she lets it slip. Janet makes a great point about the whole thing, though. She's like, it's kind of bullshit that of all people that are pointing to rumors in a marriage, that Jax is doing it. Because there's been rumors about his marriage since day one. He also is the only one here that we know cheated on his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he shouldn't be the one stirring in the pot. But as Doty's going to Doty, Jax is going to Jax. So this is what we expect from him. But this is where we cut to Gabby. Gabby is Burning Man woman.
Burning Mermaid.
Burning Nan. We are fucking struggling.
Burning Mermaid.
Are we okay?
No.
Good God. Burning Mermaid is, I'm not sure what she's doing, handing out
pop-ups. She was a pop-up boutique, I think.
Okay. I thought...
And she's selling outfits for Burning Man.
Okay.
Now, I wonder what... I guess she has a photo shoot the next day as a mermaid.
As a mermaid at the hotel.
I'm sure Jax and Jesse probably went.
Jesse got invited,
but I'm sure Jax and Jesse probably went together.
Jax definitely figured out a way to get in there.
Yeah, I gotta go back. I left my wallet.
Yeah, I left my shoe.
What?
Yeah.
I left my boner. I gotta go back and get it. Thought you wanted to have sex.
I'll get it. Hold on. Let me go get my boner. I left it at the Mondrian. But the way that these two are like flirting with her and they're, you know, clearly into her, and this is where you are 40, bro.
Yeah.
You can't stand there and be like, get me out of here. Get me out of here. Oh, God. Like,
and then not leave.
Grow up. Grow the fuck up.
You can say that as you're walking away.
I guess.
Not while you're 2 feet away and then turning back and talking to her.
Yeah, because you're clearly trying to get her to hear you say it. It's like, oh, it's cute. You're being too flirtatious.
You're gross.
Like, at least Jesse, apparently 2 hours prior to this, was talking to his coach and found out that, in fact, his marriage is probably going to end. So it's
But did he talk to his coach and do that, or did he trip on ayahuasca and see it in the future?
I don't think he's done the ayahuasca trip yet. Yeah, that's with somebody
else.
That's
what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, wait.
No. I don't think he's done that. I want to see his ayahuasca trip.
I don't.
I would wait.
Probably like the douchiest.
No, I would love to see the dudes go out to like Joshua Tree and take some ayahuasca and just film that.
They wouldn't be able to put that on Bravo, though.
Why?
Because it's
drugs. We watched Adriana do ketamine.
Yeah, but that's in a controlled...
All you have to do is get a quote-unquote licensed therapist with ayahuasca.
I don't think ayahuasca is like that, though.
There are things that you can go... Bro, if you can get fucking ketamine, you can get ayahuasca.
I think ayahuasca is worse than ketamine.
I don't think so. Mm. Ayahuasca is naturally
occurring. You go like get it like a shaman.
Ketamine's a controlled substance. Ayahuasca is not. Mm. I've been to rehab. I've heard stuff.
I know better than you.
I've talked to people.
All right.
By the way, did not know where to get drugs until I went to rehab. Yeah. Now that's where I found out all about Kensington. So thanks, Karen.
You're just driving down there trying to get some pizza at a good spot that you saw. What the fuck's going on here?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is this from the pizza?
This is where Mermaid Lady invites Jesse to the mermaid fashion show. Jesse's like clearly entertaining the idea.
Maybe I'll bring my daughter.
Michelle walks up as this is happening. Did he actually say that?
No.
Oh. I was like, whoa.
My daughter loves mermaids.
Yeah, she loves the Little Mermaid. Definitely going to bring her. There's your excuse.
Yep.
And that's what he's probably going to say. I only went because Isabella loves mermaids. You didn't bring Isabella. I know. I was researching. But Michelle walks up. And, you know, Jesse quickly plays like, oh, yeah, you know, it's Burning Man. Dinner time? All right, let's go. And they bounce and they get to dinner. And this is where we find out from Jesse that he had a session with Scott a couple hours before this. So he's sitting there like sullen, ghost face, miserable, doesn't want to talk to anybody, especially this group of people. And he's working through the fact that, and this I felt some sympathy for him initially, because he's working through the fact that, holy shit, my marriage is over.
Where does the 2 months thing come from?
I think the 2 months thing was just him talking to Jax at the like carnival or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, there's no way that he sat down with a therapist and they were like,
No.
Well, based off of what you're saying, you got 2 months to live.
No, the 2 months was earlier.
Okay.
When he said that the marriage is over, it wasn't that it was over in 2 months. He's just realizing that we're not going to come back from this.
Right.
So he's working through that in his head. Meanwhile, Michelle's trying to play the game of everything's okay. Let's just talk. Why aren't you talking? And now calling more attention to the fact that he's not talking. This is where we also find out that Jax is pushing for the bar to be open. Now, I fully agree with you. That's why Brittany was brought in, so that he could justify it. However, don't disagree with his sentiment.
I don't either. I think it makes a lot of sense, especially if you're operating based off of how terrible Schwartz and Sandy's was, where they just refused to open.
They did a soft opening
with just their friends, not making any money. This makes sense because it's LA. I mean, we were in LA during football season. Not a lot of people give a shit about the football teams, whatever. But if you're going to have some people there, you can do a brunch, picnic tables. It at least looks like it's ready to open in that regard.
Well, if it's,
and then you can do the rest of it later.
Agreed, especially because it's framed as a sports bar.
Correct.
So if you can get it open under construction for football games.
You have the TVs up there too, and you've got your liquor license and everything. You're good.
You are losing
money right now. So
dudes will show up and watch football.
Sure.
Anywhere.
If you build it, they will come.
Exactly. Very well said. But this is where Michelle starts poking Jesse a little bit. She's like, you're so quiet. Why are you so quiet? The other people at the table start noticing. Now Jesse gets irritated and
bangs the table.
Bangs the table, which was dumb. He shouldn't have done that. And like,
it was just like symbolic. I don't think I know, actually really wanted to do it.
No, I know it was. I know what he was trying to do. I do think that was dumb. I don't think that played nearly as well as he thought.
No.
I felt bad for Jesse only because I know what it's like when you're kind of cranky and someone's like, why are you cranky? No. Are you grumpy? And then you get more grumpy. I didn't have a lot of sympathy very shortly after because he blows up like an idiot and shit just hits the fan because he slams the table and then Doty starts playing this holier than thou righteous virtue signaling bullshit where she's like, this is crazy. I'm not going to be around for this. Like, he's so toxic and so this and so that. And then she speaks up and calls him abusive. And I'm so glad that Jasmine called it out. She's like, you just hit all the trigger words, man. Yeah. Republican.
I paused it racist. For the bingo card.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It was a lot of repeats.
Was it?
Yeah, it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I wish we
it
got
it. It was only on the screen for like half a second, so it was one of those like, let's just get this graphic out there. I was hoping there was going to be like some more trigger words or maybe a couple of VPR nuggets in there. Nah, it was just some dumb shit.
Well, it's really fucking annoying that she does that shit because like you can't, it's similar to what Katie said where it's like when you have to constantly tell me how much you've changed, it negates the point of it. It's very similar to that. It's like, dude, we know what your past is. And maybe you are on this journey of healing. Great. Good for you. You and Luke seem like you guys are doing fine. Like, all of that's great. But you don't have to get on this high horse and then use, you know what that word does.
Yeah.
You know what that word implies. Like, by saying abusive, you're turning heads. People's ears are perking up. They're like, ooh, what? People are watching this on TV. Mm-hmm. It frames it differently. Is he a shitty husband? Yeah. Is she a shitty wife? Yeah.
No, it's the exact same thing, and that's what Jasmine's so right about. It's the same thing as calling somebody a Republican, calling somebody a racist, inferring those things, and then taking it back afterwards and trying to be like, oh, well, I don't know. Like, the whole reason that you're doing this is because you want to announce to everybody that you are the bigger person because you're holding Michelle's secrets. That's all you really want. And that is not how that works.
No.
If you're holding someone's secrets, you stay the fuck quiet.
You don't say that
to the edge. And then when they come back at you, you get a chance to be like, I've got her secrets and I'm being a good friend to you. The fact that you just said that you're holding secrets for her is going to make the situation worse. You know what you're doing. And this is what Doty does. And this is what Doty does better than really anybody else.
She's great at it.
She has a great way of doing the whole, I know what's going on, and I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to just do it unprompted.
I'm a good friend.
But I'm going to force you into a situation where you're going to make me say it.
Yeah, you're going to push me too far. It's going to get too much, and it's going to come out, and then it's going to look like it's your fault.
Yep.
It's masterful. She's been good at TV for a long time, but
I don't know if she knows that's what she's doing, but she knows how to do it.
Uh-huh. But she storms off. She's ready to leave, and we get like a conversation off camera. And it's between the two of them.
And a producer.
And they start talking. And this is where we get the line from Jesse. We heard this before. If you bring up any skeletons from her past that I don't know about, I will fucking end you.
Bury you.
Is it bury? Okay, bury. I wrote end. This is where you're going to lose a lot of points, dude.
Yeah.
You cannot get in a woman's face this aggressively, bro.
I think that's where, at least, and you know us, we love a good fourth wall break.
We do
love when that happens. But this is where it comes into play, where Kristen has been on shows before. She knows how this works. She's talking to the producer. Yes, I mean, we can hear a little bit of it. Michelle, for whatever reason, Jax told everybody to quiet down, right? So they could listen.
Is that what I
think? Jax told everybody to quiet down so they could hear what was going on. Kristen's telling the producer, I can't do this. Producer's trying to just get her to go back in there. Like, no, you can't walk away from this. You're in the middle of this. We need to see this on camera. Go back, sit down, and let's do this.
Yep.
Nope. All right. Jesse gets up and comes over. Jesse doesn't realize that we can hear everything. This is a very candid and straightforward response from Jesse. He said that to the producer and to Kristen. Mm-hmm. Not to us, the viewers, but to them. And we got to hear it. And that is Jesse.
That is Jesse. It was way too aggressive. It was way too strong. He's pretty much threatening her. And then Michelle comes out there in his defense. Luke's out there as well. And I was baffled. You can't put your marital problems on Doty.
No.
She's like, look what you've done to us. It's like, nah, bro. You did that.
Yeah.
You apparently cheated on your husband.
Yeah.
And he was MIA after you had your kid. This is a you problem. Mm-hmm. This isn't Doty's problem.
You brought the biggest thing of all, and I think we talked about this with Summerhouse or something else. You brought this to reality TV. Nobody's forcing you to be on the show.
You came to the show.
You knew the state of your marriage. Your marriage was already in shambles. It was on the rocks, whatever you want to say, before you started filming. You decided to get into reality TV with a shaky marriage. What do you think was going to happen?
And why would you tell Doty that you're texting other men?
Yeah.
Why would you tell her? She's not going to hold it.
No.
That was the dumbest shit you could have done. So you set up these dominoes. Now they're just falling.
Yep.
You have no control over the issue now. And now you're trying to put it. This is like a desperation attempt at the end to be like, oh, fuck, I overstepped. Because she loses it on Doty. And that's the one person, because you divulge your secrets to her and because she knows too much, do not cross her because mm-hmm. she'll use it. And she tees it up so that you force her, quote unquote, to do so by blaming her for your problems in your marriage. They are your problems, not Doty's problems. So I didn't care for that. And this is where Luke gets involved, and rightfully so, because Jesse's getting way too aggressive with Doty. He's getting in her face. It's getting too much. So Luke steps in. And Jesse, I love when people do this in fights. What are you going to do? If you ask enough, you're going to find out.
Yeah.
They fuck around and find out. You keep saying that in somebody's face, and then they clap back at you, and then you act like, oh, God, which I don't think Jesse would have. I think he would have thrown down. But, like, this sealed the deal for me watching Luke handle the situation, because even when Jesse goes off and Zach catches a fucking stiff arm into the wall.
Zach got crushed.
Zach handled it well.
He's got his helmet on.
Zach handled
it
well.
He's got his helmet on. He can take that. No CTE.
No CTE, and he did not hit the deck. He stayed up. Appreciate that.
He got buckled, but
he got buckled, but he stayed up. All right, so Zach, you get some points in my book.
Yep.
Brittany catches the brunt, too. She puts herself in between them. She mm-hmm. gets shoved out of the way. You can't lose your control.
You get a nice little exchange there in the middle where Zach's apologizing to Brittany because he didn't see her there.
Yeah.
He was just trying to get in the way.
Yeah, but this is you can't go off the rails like this. But while this is going down, dude, and while Jesse's trying to claw his way through the crowd to get to Luke, Luke is unfazed.
Yeah.
He's taking a slight step back to get away from the crowd in case Jesse gets through. He's not frantic. He's standing there stone cold. I was like, this guy's going to fuck Jesse up if he gets through. Keep Jesse back, because I'm more scared of Luke than I am of Jesse.
Yeah.
So I kind of wish he'd gotten through.
I know. We always do. Violence isn't the answer, guys.
No, it's not the answer.
All right.
But you don't want to kind of see it, too?
I love it.
Just a little bit.
I'm talking
to our listeners.
Yep.
You guys don't? I mean, just a little.
Just a little.
But it's been too much. Too much was said. It got too aggressive. It got too strong. Fisticuffs were almost thrown. Doty lets it drop.
Mm-hmm.
You've had a boyfriend for over a year. Boom. That's what you could have avoided.
Now, I don't think that's a boyfriend currently. I think that was...
You had a boyfriend for over
a year. Had a boyfriend,
They dated for a while. I don't know what the situation is. Now, it's implying that...
But she's probably showing a lot of the same behavior that she was showing last year when she did have a boyfriend for a year. So, yeah.
That bomb was dropped. As it should be, by the way, because you're being fucking shady and gross and dating somebody. That's the thing that, look, if you're not happy in your marriage, that's one thing. There's never an excuse to step out. So you deserve to have this brought back in your face. However, it was brought back by your own doing.
Yep.
Because you went after Doty. You lost your cool. You shouldn't have told her to begin with. That was your initial problem.
Yep.
But you brought it on yourself. You crossed Doty. Doty drops the bomb. Now you guys left to pick up the pieces, and I'm curious, and I wonder what you think. Do you think that this moment right here was what really pushed them? Because we know they're getting divorced now. Was this like one of the nails in the coffin where Jesse's like, fuck?
I think Jesse already knew. I think he knows all about that. I think it's more about the public perception.
You think he knew about that?
Yeah, I think he knew about the boyfriend, too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a totally
I think they probably
thing.
Had to work through that, and then maybe that also signifies why he's no longer super interested, and he's trying, but he's not, and the whole thing's just completely dead. I think he's known, if you had to ask me, but I think it's more about you're on a reality TV show, so now everybody knows.
Literally everybody.
And they're getting ahead of it because they know that this is coming out. Look, I mean, you've already known what's going on. A lot of drama is going to ensue in the next couple of episodes, so you already know this is going to get out. I think they probably had a lot of time to think about it and decided to just move on. Yeah.
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
As it always does. Let's do some questions.
I'm going to read this one just because I really love the username. Koopy Poopy asks, this could be like my long lost cousin. Koopy Poopy? Shooter Magooter?
Koopy Poopy.
Yeah. Koopy Poopy.
Shooter Magruder and Koopy Poopy?
Yeah, could be cousins.
All right.
Does Michelle blink?
Oh, no.
Haven't seen it. Good
point.
Not sure.
Well, I'll pay attention next episode. That's the kind of stuff I remember, by the way. I don't remember where my shoes are, but I'll remember to make sure she blinks.
Yeah. Sarah Shears asks, who goes on a reality TV show with a year-long side piece? Who do you believe, Kristen or Michelle?
Kristen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, you can say a lot of things about Dodie, but usually when she drops some tea, there's at least a semblance of truth to it. So
this actually makes a lot of sense. RM Lays asked, I feel like it was a miss to not invite Luke to build the crib after he just talked about all of his tools.
10,000%. That's the guy.
He would have had that thing built in 5 minutes.
He wouldn't have needed anybody else.
Yep.
Especially those three idiots. That was so sad to watch. But hey, if you need tips on champagne or wine or fashion,
travel,
you can talk Italy? To Jesse.
Let me talk to you about Capri.
Yeah, no. Capri.
Capri. John Critelli said, do you think Jesse's going to get called out for being aggro, or will everybody eyeball emojis at Dodie? That's a good question. I think it's going to land more on Dodie, just based off of like how things have been going.
I think
behind the scenes, we're going to get the discussions about Jesse, but I think in public or like in the group setting, everybody's going to go after Dodie because of how messy she's been.
I think you're going to get both. I think that people are going to be tired of Jesse ramping it up like that, but I think that more emphasis will be placed on Dodie than him on the show. I think public perception, I would imagine that Jesse's going to catch a lot of shit for getting to that point.
Yeah, probably. Lauren3D asks, do you think it's been the director that she's been dating for a year? No, I do not think that she was dating Quentin Tarantino for a year. Got it.
No. No. Oh, man, I hope it was. But no, I don't think that Tarantino would have hung around for... He's a weird fucking guy.
Yeah.
Do I think that she hooked up with Tarantino? I just...
Depends on her feet, honestly, for Tarantino.
I know. It's him or Michael Bay, right?
Yep.
And if it's Michael Bay, then there had to be special effects involved. Oh, do you think that he makes Transformer sounds when he's having sex?
Definitely. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, last question here. If Michelle is so done with Jesse, why did she defend him when he was being very aggressive? I would kind of tailor this question a little bit more and say, why was she sitting there poking him the whole time, saying, what's wrong with you, when she knows what's going on?
That was more...
That's more my question.
As far as defending him...
When he was out in the hallway, that makes a little more sense, because that's like, I'm protecting my secrets.
That's more what I get. It's like, oh, fuck.
But why the fuck was she sitting there poking him?
No idea. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a really dumb move.
That was stupid. But yeah, defending him out there, I think, one, you're going to do that regardless if you're still married, because it's a bad look if you sit there and watch your husband get berated.
Yeah.
And two... That's the secret keeper. But then you inadvertently pissed off the secret keeper and she dropped your secrets because you're an idiot.
Keeper.
Yeah, the secret keeper. Dodie.
All right. Well, that's all I got. You got anything?
No. Nope. Just make sure that you guys buy your tickets to our live show. Head to the link in our Instagram bio to do so. It is next Friday. We're getting all gassed up, geared up, ready to go. Like I said, we got Candace Dillard, Chris Bassett, and Ryan Bailey coming out. Go get your tickets and we will see yous next Friday.
Later.
Proud Bros are out here.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's DANA, on your podcast app.